Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I think we're working, but I can't hear any of my background music or anything. So we're just going to kind of go along here and just act as if everything's working out all right. If it comes down to it, I may disconnect and try again. As a matter of fact, I think people that are listening to me right now, I think I'm going to disconnect and I'm going to try to hook up again here and just see what happens here. So bear with me. Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, very frustrating here. It's been quite a night, and I am not sure if we're working or not. This all started, just got a late start, getting on the road, made the mistake of stopping at McDonald's in Castle Rock, which you think would take about 3 minutes, and that took 20 minutes. You know, whenever you're in the lane at McDonald's and they tell you to pull over, you know, to stall one or two because the Happy Meal Chicken McNuggets are going to take another minute and a half or so, don't do it. Now, Lorelei told me, pull over there, would you? And so, of course, I did. I obeyed because I didn't want to just sit there and be that guy and say, no, if they're going to take a minute, I'll wait right here for the chicken nuggets. No, pulled over. It was another 10 minutes, and they finally brought the stuff out to us. So that kind of got us all fouled up and all behind schedule here tonight. And for some reason tonight, I cannot hear any of my studio clips, the intro music. I don't know if that's going out or not, because the other night, the test episode, it worked beautifully. But here tonight, it says I'm on the air. I'm trusting that I'm on the air. I need some feedback from somebody out there. Tell me if we are working, because I cannot hear myself, which is very frightening. Wonder if I'm just out here talking to no one. But we have a little chat room right along with the show here. If you're right along with us here tonight, you can check in that way. You can call the show if you want. The call in, 929-477-3985. And we'll just see here. And it says I'm working. Thank you, Dustin Ray Cox, because I cannot hear myself, which is very frightening. But Dustin Ray Cox checking in on the Facebook page saying that we are up and running, which is a good thing, which is a nice thing to know that the inaugural show is finally off the ground. We disconnected, tried to rehook up and everything again. I had the same problem. But like I said, it's been kind of an interesting night. When you leave late, I'm at my studio on the road here tonight. I'm in Westminster, Colorado, and beautiful Westminster, and start of a long weekend. We're going to, Carly and I are going to go to Waterworld tomorrow. Carly's going to spend the weekend with Ryan. Lorelei and I, it's our 26th wedding anniversary weekend. We celebrated our anniversary last night at Jorge's with a great dinner with the kids, with the girls anyway. We'll see Ryan this weekend. Ryan's supposed to call in, check in, and I will see if we'll talk about the debate. I guess that's a big hot subject tonight. I guess this is the one night it was great to be traveling on the road. I did not have to watch 10 guys on the stage do the debate. And I missed the JV debate earlier today. I guess that was at 3 o'clock, right? So we had one woman in that debate. So what is there, 17 now? 17 all in the trying for the nomination. Just a little too early to get serious about all this, isn't it? But we'll see how that goes. So if anybody wants to call in and talk about the debate, we can do that. You know, there's a number there. You can call 929-477-3985 is the number for you to call if you want to call in and talk here tonight on the talk show. I see we got a guest in the chat room as well. So if you got a question there, you want to put it through me to there, it's good. Once again, we'll kind of explain the parameters of the show. Sports is my expertise, and we're going to talk Thunderwolves football here tonight. We'll probably work our way into a little bit of Broncos stuff, perhaps some baseball. As a matter of fact, I said I threw out the debate as a topic as well. We could talk about the debate tonight, which I saw absolutely none of. Only thing I saw was a few little blurbs here and there from the usual sources on Facebook when I had the 2 minutes here while I was sitting here to get here. I actually arrived at the house at 8:53. Wanted to be here about 8:40, and it would have worked out great if I hadn't made the great idea to stop at McDonald's. But I did that, and that's got everything all screwed up. But, you know, that's the way it's going. But it's going to work out good, I think. What we want to use this program for is kind of a post-game vehicle after Thunderwolves football games this year to give you, the people that were at the games, the home games will be able to go on right after I sign off on Clear Channel on Fox Sports Pueblo. We'll be able to just take a little bit of a delay and then get hooked up and we can go right to it. And we'll be able to do it that way. We'll take calls for an hour if we want. People want to talk about the game. We'll rehash the game and everything, how it went. And I think it'll work out good that way. Just another tool to make you, the fan, more involved with Thunderwolves football. Now, Thunderwolves, of course, had their big media day this week with the RMAC on Monday, and I've posted a lot of links to the press conferences there, and then they had some individual interviews with four of the players, which we've got those up on the Jim Brooks fan page on Facebook. You can check all those out if you'd like. Key dates for the Thunderwolves, of course, they report the 12th. They return to campus. That's when they are supposed to be back on campus. The first practice will be on August 13th, 4:30. Most of the practices this year, kind of fan-friendly, 4:30 to 6:30 for the most part, with the exception of a few earlier practices on the 18th and on the 20th. They go at 7:30 in the morning. 22nd of August, that's the first big scrimmage of the year, one of the first big dress rehearsals. That'll be at 9:45 in the morning. That'll be a Saturday morning scrimmage. They'll also have one of their clinics they do with the kids. That will take place, I believe, at 8:30 is when that gets going. Then the scrimmage will actually start at 9:45. Then the final big scrimmage of the summer camp or fall camp, if you want to call it that, will be on the 28th. That'll be on a Friday night. That'll be 6 o'clock at the Thunderwolves. So plenty of chances to get out and see your national champion Thunderwolves this year as they get set to try to defend their crown. Other big news with the Thunderwolves in football this year, they're going to have all the games this year will be available live on the internet by a Stretch internet. Now, remember in the past, the Thunderwolves would have their America One service or whatever, and you had to pay to actually view the ball games. But this year, the games will be streamed live. Plus, they're going to have two games on regular television. They'll be on national television the first game of the year. It'll be on Altitude on the American Sports Network. And that game's been moved up. It's not at 6. It's going to be at 5 o'clock, the opener from the Thunder Bowl against Central Washington. And that game will be available on Altitude 2. So whatever cable system you have, or if you have the dish, you just have to figure out where Altitude 2 is. I think on Comcast, which I'm on, it'll be channel 104, if I remember right, what Altitude 2 is. I'm not sure if it'll be on high def or not, but you can figure that out when the time comes. Hopefully, you'll be at the stadium anyway. But also, the Thunderwolves will be on television this year on a regional basis on CET Sports. And that's also channel 104 on Comcast. That'll be the homecoming game against Fort Lewis as the Thunderwolves look to pound it to Fort Lewis, the Skyhawks, after they were the only blemish on the season last year for the Thunderwolves. That screwy game where he had the two-hour lightning delay down there in Durango. It was a kind of a weird night, to say the least. Other games in the RMAC this year on television. They've got three other games this year. Fort Lewis, again, will be on television. They'll be on Altitude 2 against Montana State, as that'll be the sacrificial club when you go up there. Man, that's going to be a tough nut to crack there for Fort Lewis. That'll be on September 3rd. That is a Thursday night game. It'll be on Altitude 2, 7:05 kickoff there. We mentioned, of course, the Thunderwolves game on the 5th. On the 12th, Saturday game up in I think that one's in Spearfish, South Dakota Mines against Black Hills State. It's the Black Hills Brawl. That'll be on the 12th of September, Saturday night game. That'll be on ESPN3. Then there'll be one other game on CET this year, Comcast Entertainment Television, as Highlands will take on Mines, and that'll be a good one to look in on because that'll feature Mines' brand new stadium as they move into their new digs this year. So there's your television reminders this year for the Thunderwolves and the rest of the RMAC from some of their television dates. Some of the news from the RMAC for the Thunderwolves, 9 players on the All-RMAC preseason list. Morgan Fox, of course, is the defensive player of the year, and he is one of those honors. Cam McDonald probably very seriously could have been the offensive player of the year, preseason offensive player of the year. But they did not give that honor to him. The quarterback at Mines gets that. But Cam's on there. Kieran Duncan, Gary Dixon, Zach Martinez, Tony Campton, Seth Brown, Ben Estica, and LaRon Tarkington are all on the preseason All-RMAC team for the Thunderwolves. So that's good news there. But as Cameron McDonald said on the interview this week, doesn't really matter. Everybody starts at zero, so preseason honors doesn't mean a hill of beans. It's what you do in that first game, and the Thunderwolves doing their best to try to get to 1-0 on that opener against Central Washington. Thunderwolves goes to be on the road their second game of the year, as we kind of get you an idea what their schedule is going to be like this year. It's kind of an interesting early season schedule. Second week will be down in Canyon, Texas, just outside of Amarillo, about 20 miles south of Amarillo. That'll be a 4 o'clock local kickoff game on a Saturday. It ought to be nice and toasty down there in Amarillo as the Thunderwolves take on West Texas A&M, which has turned into a great series the last, well, it'll be 4 years now. The Thunderwolves winning all the regular season contests. Remember, West Texas A&M came in and did defeat the Thunderwolves in the playoff game a couple years back. Thunderwolves then will be home to Western State, home to Western New Mexico. Then they're on the road at Adams State. They'll be home at Fort Lewis. We mentioned that'll be a television game on Comcast Entertainment Television on the 10th of October. It'll be a 2 o'clock kickoff. Then one of the big early games of the year in the conference at Shadron on the 17th. That'll be a noon kickoff. Back home for Mines the 24th. That'll be an afternoon game, 2 o'clock kickoff. Then on, back on the road to the Black Hills, we go to Black Hills State up to Spearfish, South Dakota. That'll be a noon kickoff on the 31st, Halloween special for you. And then back home on the 7th to take on Mesa. And the Thunderwolves finish on the road at Highlands on November 14th. So the schedule this year, last year it seemed like Thunderwolves were on the road forever there in the early going. It was only one home game those first five of the year. But this year, three of the first four are at home, so a little different. Plus, after that, there's no – they just kind of alternate. You go road, home. So it's kind of a friendlier logistical schedule this year for the Thunderbolts. Just have those two tough trips up to Shadron, and then turn around 2 weeks later, go back up to Spearfish. The little trip down to Las Vegas, that's just a day trip. No big deal there. The trip down to Alamosa. Not sure how the Thunderbolts are going to handle that one, if they'll just go down there the day of the game, if they'll go down the night before. I'm not sure how head coach John Risson will do that one. The Highlands game, usually they go down day of game, get there and get the heck out of there, because who wants to be in Las Vegas, New Mexico, longer than necessary? But that's kind of your what's happening with the Thunderbolts here in the early season. I tell you what, I was working on the roster today, and just it's amazing every year the turnover for the Thunderbolts, especially in the players that were, say, freshmen a year ago and redshirt freshmen. It's a battle of attrition. The players that stick with the Thunderbolts the entire 4 years, they're definitely the cream of the crop. You start every year with about 50 in your recruiting class, including your players you signed the letters of intent, gave them partial scholarships, and you include all your walk-ons, your transfers. So you start with about 50, but at the end of 4 years, there's usually only 15 guys that are left over at tops that are seniors. Last year was a bigger senior class for the Thunderbolts. I think, what do they have, 18 that left? So you just see how many players fall by the wayside. And some surprising names here, just going through it here today as I went over the preliminary football roster. Some of the ones that are absent, one of the ones that kind of struck me, Marche Denard, not on the roster this year. So evidently Marche has decided not to come back, either that or they gave him his walking papers and told him it wasn't in his interest anymore to be around. But he's not back. He's a guy who was kind of a vital cog for the Thunderbolts, I thought, not only on special teams, but kind of the third running back, kind of a nice to have that depth there. But maybe he'd see the writing on the wall with Cameron McDonald being the starter, and then Bernard going to get more and more time there. So, but it just kind of hurts you depth-wise. And we've seen through the years with running backs, when one gets hurt, sometimes it snowballs. Evidently, J.B. Matthews, he's not going to be back. It looks like he's ineligible right now. So that's kind of a blow to the Thunderbolts. So you don't see that little slot receiver this year. So we'll just see how it's going to go. And, of course, the big question, the big battle will be at quarterback. Will it be the new guy out of Raton, the transfer out of Texas Tech, or will it be Malcolm Reuben, who started all the spring games this year? So that's what we'll hash out this year for the Thunderbolts, some of these jobs to be done. The big glaring losses for the Thunderbolts on their roster this year is at defensive back, where you lose your starting cornerbacks, you lose a starting safety, so, and you lose the two backup cornerbacks as well. Malcolm Floyd, he's gone. Harrison Hunter, he's gone. So you're going to have four new defensive backs on the corner, when I'm including the backup. So that's the biggest glaring loss for the Thunderbolts on this ball club, from this defense that was so good a year ago. So we'll see how they replace that. You got to replace a safety, as Gerard Lacey, he's gone. You do get LaRon Tarkington back, and he's a preseason RMAC pick. You lose, of course, on the defensive front, Josh Bradle. We can talk about him with the tough enough deal on the wrestling thing. That's kind of interesting, following along with that this year, everything he's doing. And then also on the defensive front, of course, Darius Allen is gone. One of the guys I was looking forward to seeing this year was Deion Sizer, and see how good he was going to be. But he's off for the year because of an injury. So they're going to redshirt him this year. So big number 99 won't be out there. But so there's going to be a chance now. You're going to see you're going to get to see how good Josh Croy is. Going to see a lot more minutes this year. Trace Gray coming off the edge as well. And then some of their recruits there, some of the redshirt freshmen that will be sophomores this year, see how good they're going to be coming into the fold this year for the Thunderwolves. So we'll see how that is. If you have a question about anything with the Thunderwolves, I'll do my best to answer them for you. If you want to call in, 929-477-3985 is the number to call into the show. We'll put you on air. Hopefully I'll be able to hear you. That's my biggest fear right now tonight, is being able to hear if a caller's there, because I haven't been able to hear any of my recorded clips. And right now, just for the heck of it, for kicks and giggles, we're going to try to see if we can hear this play. This is one of the key plays in the championship game a year ago. There it is, Paul Browning's big touchdown catch. And I couldn't hear that. Hopefully you could hear that. If that went out, great. So that's what's got me worried. I think they've got me screwed up here tonight somehow. I could hear all the prompts when I called in, but as far as hearing my intro music and hearing that clip there, no dice. So I'd just be curious to hear the feedback from you, the listener out there, if you want to jump in on the chat room there and give me a message if that last clip one out. It'd be nice to know here on our initial inaugural episode of the Jim Brooks Show, or commonly known as Pack Talk, as we used to do it on our Facebook page. Like to do that at kind of after a ball game. I just open it up and we'd just kind of shoot the breeze with people to kill time on road trips when you're sitting on a bus wanting to kill time as you watch tumbleweeds tumble by in the bus looking out the window. You get your phone out and try to chat on Facebook with people out there to see what was going on out there. But yeah, so I see you got a couple more people in the chat room there. I'd be interested if you want to chime in there. I'd be just curious to know if that Paul Browning clip was able to be heard out there on the show here tonight, or if I've got another problem. I'm going to have to work it out with the Blog Talk Radio. Kind of a little story behind the Blog Talk Radio Network. I just kind of stumbled across it. Tony Bruno, familiar with, used to be on Fox Sports Pueblo as part of the Fox crew. Then he went back to Philadelphia, had his own show there, and he never got along with management too well. So now he's kind of gone the way of using this vehicle and has his own nationally syndicated show. He controls the content. He controls it all now, and he's able to directly sell his advertising. And he just does his show this way. He doesn't have to worry about satisfying a program director now. And so he goes direct to the audience. And that's kind of the beauty of this blogtalkradio.com. Anybody can do it. And if you want to do it on the Direct Connect, which I do, you pay a little fee. I'm on the trial service right now, where you just kind of get in and you Direct Connect. You can also dial in for free if you want on doing a show that way. They're hoping to hook you for the monthly service, which ends up being about $30 a month, not the big deal. If you want to really go great guns, you can spend as much as $1,000 a month to produce your own show, but that gives you a lot of other things. That's if you're the big time, and I'm sure that's kind of what Tony Bruno is doing and some other nationally syndicated shows. You can do it this way, but we thought we'd give it a shot, and we just want to move it in as part of our Thunderwolves broadcast here to give you the fan, after you've been to the ball game, out to the Thunderbowl, or if you've watched it on the internet, to see how things went that way. If we get a controversial call during the game or if question about what took place in the game, we'll also be able to have the ability to bring on guests to the show as we get this thing more and more improved. And just kind of a backstory there to what we're doing with this show. Other things going on, of course, tonight, the debate. Was interesting watching my boy, Ryan, big liberal now. Ryan used to be a conservative, just like me, all through his high school years. But then he got away from the nest, got into college, and suddenly he's gone completely the other way, 180. And he was having trouble tonight with the debate. But I picked the right night to be traveling. Didn't have to watch those guys. So you got something you want to chime in there, that'd be fine. If you want to call in on the show, we'll talk about it. But like I said, I'm just hoping it works. But as we go along here, Did catch the last out of the big baseball game tonight. The Yankees and the Red Sox came in on my phone live look in on the MLB service, and the Red Sox lose 2-1 tonight to the Yankees. Big strikeout, two on, two out in the bottom of the ninth. The big pitch of the game was a strike that was called on the first pitch of the at-bat that was about 3 inches inside. So it made it 0-1 instead of 1-0. Next pitch painted the corner down 0-2. And it was all she wrote, and that's how the ball game ended. That this thought kind of a creepy way for us Red Sox fans to lose it. But last night, the Yankees lost to the knuckleballer. So they end up taking 2 out of 3 from the Red Sox. We can talk about the Rockies' recent trade with Troy Tulowitzki. Your thoughts on that, how that turned out. I was a little conflicted. I hate seeing a ball club trade the best player in baseball at a premium position when you've got him locked up for 4 more years. Now, I know it's a lot of money, but if you want to have the best in baseball, you've got to pay the best. So Tulowitzki was locked up through 2020. You had him another 4 years. Plus, you had an option year on top of that. So what the Rockies do basically is dump all that salary. They do pick up, you know, Reyes is actually paid more and Tulowitzki, I don't know if people realize that. He's actually got a $22 million a year contract where Tulowitzki was getting 20. But Reyes, they're only on the hook for 2 more years. And with Tulowitzki, they were on the hook for 5 years. Because I think the fifth year of the Tulo deal, it wasn't a team option. I think it was a player option. So what the Rockies basically did was trade 2 years of salary to get Tula. Plus, they get three pitchers, but we all see prospect pitchers. We know what they do. They come up, and most times they flame out. Rockies had their number one prospect in their organization come up and pitch on Tuesday night. You know, he looked decent enough, good velocity, pretty good slider. But, you know, he gave up 3 runs in 4 innings. He's on an innings count. They limit their innings. I think 150 is his limit this year. Next year, they'll try to get it to 175, and in 2 years, they're going to get him up to 200, kind of like Strasburg with the Nationals last year. They had him on an innings limit, and when he got to the playoffs, he couldn't pitch in the playoffs, which was kind of ludicrous, but that's the way they did. They had all that money invested in him. He'd had a history of arm troubles. They said, this is what we're doing with him. He's pitching to there, and then we're shutting him down. And so that's basically what the Rockies are doing with their number one prospect. They got the two other guys, three pitchers actually, from Toronto. Plus you get Reyes, who's an everyday shortstop. I'm interested to see what the Rockies do at the end of this season, whether they decide to keep Reyes plus keep Cargo. If they do that, I think they have the potential to have basically as good a lineup, because Reyes brings you some things that Tulo didn't. Tulo wasn't going to steal bases anymore. Of course, you don't have the long ball threat with Reyes. He's only going to hit about 10 a year, where Tulo's capable of hitting 30 or 35. But Reyes gets a lot of triples, and in that big ballpark at Coors Field, he's going to get a lot of doubles and triples. And he's a good number two hitter. He can hit behind, you know, play hit and run. Excellent fielder, just every good as Tulo, maybe even better. Because Tulo, as he's getting older, getting bigger, his range maybe losing a little bit. Plus, there's always that in the back of your head with Tulowitzki, the injury thought, where that's going to be. But getting back to the Rockies in their lineup, if they keep Reyes, they've got a couple shortstop prospects down on the farm, about 2 years away. You keep Reyes in there for 2 years, maybe even deal him at the break next year. We'll just see how it goes. Keep Cargo, who we've seen what he's done. He's been the best player in Major League Baseball the last month. Hands down, best hitter right now, hottest hitter there is, and we've seen that, but we've also seen him struggle. But I think that was more a case with his knee. I think he's finally confident again in that knee, and he's able to stay in there and feel good about himself. So, but I like that lineup. LeMahieu solid at second base. First base, I kind of like Paulson. You know, it's so long. Regular first baseman, names escaping me, of course. But he's been out so long with the concussion symptoms, there's no sign of him getting back. I guess he's been in the building working out and everything, but he just hasn't come back to play in a kind of a freaky way that he got hurt, got hit with a ball diving back into a bag and the concussion system, and he just hasn't been 100% symptom free. So they can't put him out there, can't even activate him, but Paulson's been doing very well. We'll just have to see how the rest of the lineup tunes up, and they got to get a couple of these young pitchers have got to just come through with them, and that's been the biggest problem with the Rockies through the last GM's era. It was every pitcher he drafted, none of them did worth a damn. You know, I mean, there's nobody that has really been that breakout pitcher that they've drafted. All those number one and number two draft picks the last 7 or 8 years, not one of them have done anything substantial in the big leagues. They got Pomeranz in the trade, but he only hung around a year. He struggled at Coors Field, traded him off to Oakland. He's doing all right with Oakland. He's a decent enough pitcher. The other guy they got from Cleveland, I thought he was pretty good, but he's had arm trouble. So then they traded him away. So there's just nothing to show for any of the young pitchers the Rockies have drafted the last couple of years. So just remains to be seen. They're mired in last place. We'll just see how this last month and a half of the season goes. To me, Walt Weiss, I have no idea how he still has a job, ladies and gentlemen. He is in his third season, last place every season. They're going to finish last again this year. Does he have a job next year? I thought he'd be gone by now, but he's still out there. And, of course, he's saddled with one of the worst bullpens in baseball. And that, you know, you push all the right buttons as a manager, and you put the guys where they're supposed to be. Things are supposed to work out, but they just haven't worked out for Walt Weiss. And I just don't like the personality. He just looks like there's no fire. I'm sure his baseball mind, I'm sure, is good. He's been through it all. He's a World Series champion with the A's, played shortstop, most important position on the field. But he just doesn't give you that look of a fire, I guess. And so you never see him really get very excited. His post-game interviews, very deadpan, pre-game interview. There just doesn't seem to be any excitement whatsoever there. So that's my take on Walt Weiss for the Rockies as they continue to struggle. Interesting races in baseball right now as we kind of look. We're still a month and a half. As we get into spots in the year where you're going to start seeing some teams fade. I think we're already starting to see that with Houston. They were kind of the darlings with everybody in the American League West, but they've kind of hit the skids here, lost 3 in a row, 5-5 their last 10 games. But the Angels, only 3-7. So they've been playing so poorly that the Astros still have a half game lead in the American League West. But I think the Angels sooner or later are going to right the ship. They'll win that division. The Central, the Royals, they look pretty solid. Detroit's been kind of the enigma of all of baseball. Minnesota's calmed down. They're now have lost 8 of their last 10, 5 in a row. So they're fading fast. American League East, Yankees look solid. 15 over .500. Toronto, since the trade, they've been coming on. They were under .500, but now they've gone 8-2 since the trade for Tulowitzki, that the trade for Price. Got to feel like Toronto is going to win one of those wild card spots. I would think Baltimore might get the other one. That's just the way I'm looking. I just don't see the Astros hanging tough for any of the wild card. I just see the Angels winning that division. I see the Royals winning the Central. And then I see both wild card spots coming out of the American League East. I think it'll be Toronto and Baltimore. They'll play off. Toronto will have Price on the mound. And they'll probably win the wild card game. That's the way I look at it. And then who knows what happens in the playoffs. On the National League side, the Mets have been hot of late. They've won 8 of their last 10. Washington kind of fading, but the Rockies are coming in down there. They'll probably sweep the Rockies this weekend. That'll probably get them well in a big-time hurry. St. Louis and Pittsburgh look solid. The Cubs are playing a lot better, so you got to feel like maybe Pittsburgh and Chicago and San Francisco, two of those three teams are going to get the wild card spots. The Dodgers, they might even be the Dodgers dropping down in that wild card. They only got a half-game lead over the Giants, so That's all of baseball. It's still got an eternity to go. There are about 50 games to go in the season there, 55 games actually. So we'll just see how that all hashes out. NFL news today, some of the different goings on. Of course, training camp, you're just hoping to get through training camp without those big-time injuries. And, of course, had a few of those injuries with the broken fingers of the wide receiver down in Arizona. Floyd broke three fingers or dislocated, they said, but he's got him in a cast, but he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, so probably miss the start of the year. Little excitement today as far as, you know, Brandon Marshall and Cutler. And, you know, Marshall now is a Jet, and Jay Cutler still with the Bears. So, you know, they were all lovey-dovey when they were together, but now that they're apart, the knives have come out, and they're both on each other pretty good, as Brandon Marshall and Jay Cutler going at it in the media, and Marshall questioning, of course, Jay Cutler's work ethic, which is not surprising, as we all wondered about Jay Cutler's work ethic when he was here as a Bronco. He never really had that. You talk about a guy, we talk about Walt Weiss not having any fire. Jay Cutler's the kind of guy, no fire whatsoever as well. Just very, very low-key, to say the least. And Marshall probably the exact opposite for the Jets. with things going on there. But now he's a Jet, and we'll just see how that goes. Question is, does he have anybody that get him the ball there in New York? It's one thing to get the big contract and go to the big city to play in New York, but who's going to get you the ball, Brandon Marshall? So we'll see how that goes. Broncos, no real big news today, you know, on the injury front. You know, the one big injury they had, the backup wide receiver was battling for the punt return spot, gone for the year. But you just don't get the feeling that's going to hurt the Broncos in any way. The defensive lineman having the problems with the substance abuse, out 4 games. Now he was carted off the field today, so we'll see how that goes. Big news really so far in the Broncos camp has been Peyton Manning. Some of the outside observations saying he's throwing the ball better this year. More zip on the ball. Demaryius Thomas today said that. Talking about how much more zip on the ball Peyton Manning has. And we've established that my headphones work because I'm getting the feed from NFL.com of an ad that just came blaring into my headphones. So my headphones are working. It's just my headphone connection with the Blog Talk radio network not there. Not able to hear anything there. So that's kind of disheartening here. More from Broncos. We'll just see how the battle at running back's going. Plus, you got Wade Phillips as the defensive coordinator. How is that going to work for the Broncos? Are they going to be better this year on defense? What are your thoughts? Does Wade Phillips instill any more confidence in you than Jack Del Rio did at that job? Or do you feel better about Wade Phillips? Wade Phillips had a pretty good defense down there in Houston. Everywhere he's gone and has been a coordinator, defensive have been pretty good. Wade Phillips just never was what you'd call a great head coach. But as far as coordinators go, his defenses have always been pretty good. So we'll just see what Wade Phillips brings to the table. Talked about Peyton Manning throwing the ball a lot better, hit more zip. One of his, name escaping me, I beg your pardon, but Brandon Stokely, and doing some work now, television work, talking about how well Peyton Manning's throwing the ball. Noticed Connor Barth is still the kicker for the Broncos. He nailed a 60-yarder today at training camp, so maybe his leg's gotten a little bit stronger. Maybe that's just the altitude on a nice hot day in Denver, Colorado. Most guys could probably kick it 70 yards, I guess, but he nailed a 60-yarder, so that kind of got the attention of everybody. I know one of the other things that came out of practice today, Tlaib had his second interception in as many days on Peyton Manning in some of the drills. They thought Tlaib's looking a little bit better. I thought Tlaib last year just looked a little tentative for the Broncos, like he was battling an injury. So we'll see how he bounces back in the second year of his big deal, the free agent signing for the Broncos. Broncos, of course, don't have a preseason game until a week from Saturday, I believe, when they are on the road at Seattle, a rematch of the Super Bowl from a couple years back. So the Broncos and Seattle have been playing each other in the preseason now for a few years, and they renew that rivalry as well. Broncos' other preseason games this year, we're correct, that will be on, actually it's Friday night is the game with Seattle. Next Friday night, preseason game at the Seahawks. Then the Saturday the 22nd, they'll be at the Texans to take on Gary Kubiak's old team down there. That'll be on Saturday the 22nd, 6 o'clock kickoff. Then they return to actually their first game at Mile High Stadium, the last real preseason game of the year, kind of the tune-up for everybody. They'll take on the 49ers, and then they turn around quickly, and then on Thursday, September 3rd, they'll be home to the Cardinals, and that's more or less the game where they settle all those jobs for those guys that are trying to hang on and trying to earn a spot on the 53-man roster for the Broncos. So that's their preseason schedule. Of course, the Broncos open up this year at home to the Ravens on Sunday, September 13th. That'll be a 2:25 kickoff at Sports Authority Field. Then the Broncos turn around, quick turnaround. They'll be on the road in Kansas City, Thursday night football at the Chiefs. And it seems like notoriously the Broncos always play at the Chiefs in November, where it is just brutal to try to play a ball game in November or December at Arrowhead with the weather being so bad. Broncos kind of caught a break last year. The weather was pretty good. But we'll see how they handle what could be a hot and humid night in Kansas City on Thursday night football. Then following week, they'll be at the Lions. And that'll be a tough nut to crack. And that'll be a Sunday night football game. So a couple of national television games in the first 3 weeks of the season. I'm sure the Broncos and Ravens will have a big share of the country watching them as well. Then they return home to the Vikings. And one of the games I'm looking forward to is the 11th at the Raiders. See how Jack Del Rio has turned the Raiders around. All reports saying they are enthusiastic. They're flying around in training camp. It's kind of installed a new, a new desire, a new will to play there. Of course, the Raiders for so long have been battling salary cap problems that Al Davis kind of put them in with some of his kind of terrible signings from the older regime. But this new guy now, in his third year, I believe, at the helm now, their new GM, and he's kind of trying to get his stamp on the team. They've kind of settled their questions at quarterback with Carr playing there. They like their running back. They like some of their skilled people. They think the defense will be better this year with Jack Del Rio being the head coach, plus with that defensive mindset. We'll see how that goes. And the Broncos turn around, go to Cleveland. They'll be home to the Packers and then at the Colts. So the first 8 games of the season, you can make a case. You could look at the schedule and say, well, the Broncos got a chance to be 7-1 after 8 games. But there's also a chance you look at some of these road games, teams that could rise up. Chiefs, that could be a tough game. At the Lions, tough game. Never know how the Raiders are going to be in the division. Every game in the division is a tough game. At the Browns, second of a back-to-back road game. It'll be an 11 a.m. kickoff. Never been any good for the Broncos as well, historically. Then you return home to play the Packers and then at the Colts. I mean, there are some landmine games all along the schedule. The second half gets maybe a little bit easier, but you got a home game against the Chiefs, a home game against the Patriots. That's not going to be any bargain. You finish the year with home games against the Bengals and the Chargers. You go to the Steelers on December 20th. So NFL football, it's always the one thing that's predictable about it, that it's unpredictable. You just have no clue where it's going to shake out. Some team is going to rise up that you thought was the last place team in the division, and they're going to rise up and they're going to be at the top of the division. You don't know which division that's going to be. You're going to have a couple of teams that you thought were going to be great. Broncos could be one of those. You'd think that hands down they're going to win the division. They could be the team that drops off and finishes 8-8. Say Manning gets hurt, what happens then? I mean, football, you just never know. Everybody starts there that first week, and then if you win that first game, you feel like you're going to the Super Bowl. If you lose that first game of the week, you cannot bear those 7 days to get you to the next ball game. It's like, what are we going to do? We're 0-1. The season's over. Then, God forbid, you lose the second game of the year. If you start off 0-2, then you know you're in a big hole. So football, that first week, that sense of urgency, that first game of the year, it is huge. And we'll just see how it shakes out for the Broncos. As far as the rest of the NFL, I don't know who that team's going to be. The Colts are the one that looked like everybody's darling. They loaded up. They got the free agent. They got all the tools around Luck, who's just entering the prime of his career right now. You would think they're the team to beat, but they play terrible against the Patriots. So if anywhere down the line they have to play New England, they lose to New England. So that's the way it is. See how Tom Brady is. He going to sit out the first four? Are they going to reduce the suspension to two? We'll just have to see how that works out. Deflategate, you know, I thought four was a little harsh. I think if they could get to a settlement, there's a reason they take these suits to the judges they do, because they look for a friendly judge who's been on the side of the union before. So the NFL's got to look at it. Do we want to try to settle this out of court? Because we're likely to lose the whole deal. This judge is likely to say, you know what? No suspension, or at best, one game suspension. NFL may want to negotiate it and just say, hey, would you take two right now and we'll just end this all? I'm not sure Tom Brady's ready to admit that he's done anything wrong. You know, destroying his cell phone seems to be the whole thing they've got against him. He's sticking to his guns, but we'll see. I thought four games a little much. I thought two, if they come right out and said two, negotiate it down to one, that's probably about where I see it being. But we'll see how the Patriots go. They've got a couple of early season injuries. Edelman has been held out of a few practices, their wide receiver. But this time of the year, when you're being held out of practices, sometimes you just can't put that much stock at it. When they put you on injured reserve, then you know it's serious. But right now, you know, guys are sitting out of practice here and there, left and right. As far as the rest of the NFL go, I think the Steelers going to have a pretty good bounce back year this year. Chiefs, you know, they were hot and then not so hot. I just don't have a feel for that. That American Conference West, you know, I could see the Broncos, Chiefs, or Chargers, any one of those teams win, and I wouldn't put it past the Raiders jumping up to being a 500 club this year. So I just think it's going to be one of those seasons where everybody's going to be pretty good. I can see them eating their young, so to speak. I could see a lot of infighting in that division and then somebody coming out of there winning the division at 10-6, but we'll see how that goes. As far as everything else goes, I haven't really delved into it that far to check into it and see exactly where it's going to pan out. Well, about 5 minutes to go here tonight on our show. I'm going to reiterate, if you're just tuning in tonight, listening to this inaugural episode, we hope to, this kind of a test run here tonight. We've got a few bugs to iron out as far as hearing some of the sound clips. I had about six of them queued up for you tonight, plays from the Thunderwolves season a year ago. They worked fine in our test show a couple nights ago, but tonight I wasn't able to hear them. I'm being assured by people that are texting me, plus some other people I've been in contact with here on the side, saying that things were working out all right. I still haven't heard about the clips, whether they went through or not. So it's kind of weird, but we'll get those ironed out. But again, what we want to do is make this a staple of Thunderwolves football broadcasts, in particular the home games, where it'll be logistically easier for me to get right to a computer after the ball games, and we'll just go on. We'll try to line up some guests, some stars of the game. We'll try to get John Riston for a little bit. Each game, we'll start off thinking about an hour. If it works out and it's hot and it's working, we might even go a little bit longer than that. We have a window where we can go up to as many as 2 hours with the format I'm on here. But I don't think 2 hours might be a little much. So we're going to shoot for an hour, and we'll try to go on within 15 minutes after we sign off of our Fox Sports Pueblo broadcast each and every home game. So that would put it, the first game is 5 o'clock on Saturday the 5th. It's a television game, so you got to feel like it's probably going to go to around 8:20, 8:30 or so. You figure a half hour for a post-game show on the radio. We'll try to get on the air around 9 o'clock on that Saturday night following the Thunderwolves' first game, and then take your calls. We'll rehash the game. We'll talk about the stats. We'll give the scoring plays, the key plays of the game. Try to get some of the players to come on the show as well. They'll be able to contact us on our platform that we have here, try to get some of those post-game interviews and try to get you more involved with Thunderwolves football and see how that goes. And the road games, since there's travel involved, I won't be able to sit at a stadium, because usually I either got to get on a bus or get in the car with Servi to get our butt home and get out of there. I'm usually driving and he's writing in the back seats, usually the way it goes. So those shows will have to be later in the evening. Once I get home, say the afternoon games in Chatter, Nebraska, when we're done at 3 o'clock, figure 6 hour drive home, we might go on the air at 10 o'clock that night, 9:30, 10 o'clock, and do an hour then and just see how it works. Same way with the Black Hills, a little bit longer drive there. So it'll be a little late night show. But the other games, when we're on the road down in Alamosa, we can get back in a couple hours and be on that. And as well as the other road games. So hopefully it'll all work out. We hope you enjoy it. Hope you enjoyed our little test run here tonight. I'd be interested to hear some of your feedback, whether you want to comment on the Facebook page, send me a private note, however you want to do it. I look forward to hearing from you to see exactly how this inaugural show went here tonight and see if our platform worked all right, and just to see what your thoughts are about what works football. With that said, we bring in our musical guest, Steve Winwood, and a little night train for you. And we'll talk to you again. We'll keep posted, and we'll see when we'll do this again. Probably try to do it again in another week as we kick off this show, and a few more things to talk about as the weeks go on, as we lead up to another season of Thunderwolves football. Until we talk to you again, this is Jim Brooks bidding you good night from Westminster.